Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa.
No, I don't know. I woke up at like 2:45 and I kind of like had anxiety a little bit. So I was kind of just like dreaming about something.
Oh.
You know when you wake up and like your heart's kind of like, but I was like, okay, whatever. And then I tried to fall back asleep and it wasn't working. And then at like 3:45, I was like, let me just go downstairs. And then I was just started reading my book. Mm. And I just turned off my alarm. I was like, I'm staying home today.
Yeah, not happening.
Not happening today. Like,
not in the cards.
No, so I'm going to go into the office on Tuesday instead. And that's that.
So I feel you.
I fell asleep from like 7 to like 8:45.
Okay. A little napperoonie to get you through.
A little napperoonie. And
sometimes it helps.
It helped. And now I can like go food shopping, go to the gym after work. It just like, I guess like makes my life a little easier.
I do love, and maybe this is because I can't really like quote unquote reset on a weekend anymore. Mm-hmm. So to me, like a Monday reset day, like I make sure even when like I offer meeting times to clients, it's not on a Monday. I need my Monday to like get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
Catch me on a Tuesday and then we'll talk.
That's the thing too. Like I don't have a single meeting today, like in the office. So I'm like, nice. Why would I go into the office? Yeah. I have 3 meetings this week. That's it.
That's lovely.
Yeah, no, like, I think the summer it's always, like, a little more dead because, like, everyone's, like, on vacation. Not a single meeting today, not a single meeting Wednesday. Honestly, I have, like, a 30-minute meeting on Thursday, which is, like, basically nothing. And then not a single meeting on Friday.
I only have 3 more meetings today, but, like, 2 are internal and they're, like, super quick. I have 1 external, but it's like, hey, I just need to grab some screenshots from your side to open a ticket on my side. But like, I'm looking at my Wednesday and it's fucking scary. You know what it is? When I have clients that are in implementation,
mm-hmm.
because they invite the success and the solution managers to everything. And to me, it's beneficial because if I'm going to solution the problems for you, if you're coming out of implementation, chances are some of these like are popping up during implementation. So like, to avoid the risk of running stupid and then also trying to figure out as a client, like you just get better insight when you're like, just, I'm in the background. Like I'm not doing anything for these meetings, but like Wednesdays, I swear for 2 clients in particular, I have like 4 different meetings. I'm like, why?
Yeah, that's insane.
Why?
Why? Literally why?
So fucking annoying.
Anyway, I have been reading, but maybe not as much, mostly because I've been like,
wait, we're
doing
pausing.
Home improvement.
Obituary. They are related. My mom was like, yeah, okay. It's Blanche, was Dr. Joseph Alini, his girlfriend. I'm like, mom, she had the last name Alini, but whatever. That's besides the point. I was like, yeah, okay.
Whatever.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a relation.
I will let Gil know. because he was like, I don't know. I was like, okay, well, whatever. We solved the family mystery of 5 minutes ago. So. Just so weird. Now I feel like text Lauren about it. Anyway, so if you guys are obviously getting in the middle of our conversation, my friend's younger brother sent me a screenshot of his great-grandfather's obituary. This is from like years ago, like very long time ago. I don't know why he was looking it up, probably something for his parents. And right next to his great-grandparents' obituary was a woman with my married last name, Katie's family name. And of course, I asked my husband, hey, are these people related to you? And he was like, I don't know. So.
I will say it's like also kind of like Spada. Like you don't have a lot of Spadas around.
Yeah.
So when they're like, that's how Alini is. So it's like when you hear of something, you're like, there's probably a relation.
Yeah.
Whereas like and now my last name, I'm like, there's so many people out there with Moncrief. I'm like, that's not fun anymore.
And like, I think, first of all, if somebody was like, hey, are these people? I couldn't tell you my grandpa's. Like, I think that I wouldn't be able to tell you my great grandparents' names on like my mom's side.
Oh, see, I could do it on my mom's side, but not my dad's side.
I could do it on my dad's side.
Yeah.
Because my mom's side, they were from, well, no, my grandma, her parents did move here, but my grandpa's parents, I mean, his dad died in like their, like 1920, like something like whatever. Mm. He died really young. And in Italy. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like that part of the family is kind of, like, lost.
That's, like, I think
but my dad's... I feel like his name was Enrico. Like, I literally could be making that up, though. That's so funny. That could be just, like, a cousin's name.
But that's kind of the point. Like, I'm fairly certain Gil and Mai's great-grandparents... I don't know if it's on, like, our dad's mom's side or dad's side, but I think they're all actually from Italy. Like, the great-grandparent line were from Italy on the boat. Because I remember even, like, my dad being like, yeah... My nana used to be upstairs cooking because they had a kitchen up in that house on the upstairs floor, and she spoke Italian. My dad's like, I don't know what you're saying to me.
Yeah, no.
Like, just make me my food, and I'll go back downstairs where I'm supposed to go afterwards.
Well, I'm glad I solved this family mystery.
Seriously.
In case you were wondering, your great grandmother's name was Blanche. So,
actually, no, that's a girl. I think that's a. They're all little players in that family. That was a girlfriend. Or it was a remarriage, I think. I don't know if a Blanche is a direct line to...
Well, that would make sense because she has like four last names. I hope your cousins are listening to this. Blanche Marsh McNally Olini.
Yeah, she ain't an OG.
Yeah, so she was probably... You know what? That makes sense because it says her surviving son is Charles McNally. Mm. So she was a McNally before she was an Olini. Or they just, like, added that on. Like, maybe he was just...
My dad's spewing family shit right now. He's like, yeah, Blanche had a son asking Peg to call me back with a paper.
Okay. Probably Charles.
Well, I will say, and I don't know if this is his grandparents, there was an Amelia and a John, or a Joseph John.
Well, because when Dr. Joseph J. Olini.
Because I know with Amelia, there's a picture down in my parents' basement with her in it, plus, like, their wedding bell. With, like, engraving, because when I was pregnant with Liam, before we knew, I mean, you and I knew it was a boy, right?
Yeah.
Like, we had our suspicions.
The minute you told me, I said, oh my God, you're having a boy.
Exactly. But, like, I was like, let me have some girl names planned, and one of the names was Amelia, and I remember my dad being like, well, you're not going to spell it, like, my grandma's way. And I'm like, well, I like the EM, so I'm going to do what I want to do. Fun facts. Let's see if Phil likes to spew anything else, because Phil loves the drama.
It's like, we're not even going to talk. We're just going to talk about the family
Honestly,
tree.
I think between your family and the Olini side of my family, there's some tea there.
There's a lot of tea there. Yeah, my great-grandma was a Provenzano. Her cousin was Tony the Pro, if anybody is interested in mafia lore. But she disassociated from the family after she left Italy to come to the States because her ex-boyfriend shot her.
That's some serious tea.
Yeah. And then she, like, met my great-grandfather and they got married and, like, they disassociated from her family completely. She was, like, a really nice woman. She lived to be, like, 93. She still had, like, I'm going to confirm with my mom, but I'm pretty sure she still had the bullet in her that, like, where it was. Like, they just, like, back
Couldn't
in the day,
operate?
They just didn't take it out.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, fun family facts.
Oh my God, my dad keeps going. Yeah, I'm going to try to find out the history and all this.
I'll send you the screenshot I have of the obituary.
Okay. I'll send it to him. He's going to definitely find it so interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure Gil's sending it to his dad now. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, but I can see Joel being like, but like somehow he is the keeper of all the Olini knowledge. So who knows?
There's probably like 13 photos somewhere that he has.
Probably. He's like, oh, this person here. Here you go. Speaking of Joe, the other day I saw him and Tom on my run. And Tom was, no, I wasn't running. No, we were just driving down the street. We saw him. And Tom and I were peeing our pants. You could see his forehead over the steering wheel and that's it. He's so little.
He's so little. And he can't see. He can't wait. So, okay. So, you guys, like, we're painting, like, literally, like, my whole house right now. If I end up posting, my background is different. I moved my office. It's, like, a whole thing that we're doing. But we're finally, like, finishing kind of, like, painting the hallways because, like, that's my least favorite. Like, all of the edging around, like, every door. Whatever. My mom came and helped. Gil and I painted the other room, and then my in-laws came over for dinner, and I was like, just go upstairs and, like, look at the room, like, look at the color, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And my mom, we were talking about how going up the stairs, like, I will paint, like, I'll do whatever, but I'm not painting going up the stairs. Like, I'm not going to be on my staircase on a ladder. Yeah. I don't care if it's one of those like little giant ones that's made for, like, I'm just not, that's not me. I'm not doing it. And my father-in-law was like, oh, well, it's just, he's like literally looking at the paint, like the painted walls. And he's like, well, it's just white. Like, he's like, he's like, so like, if even if you mess up, you won't see it. And we're like, Joe, that's like gray. And it's not like a light gray in the hallway. It's like a, it's a gray. Like, it's definitely gray. You know what I mean? And I was like, are you kidding? And he was like, it looks white to me.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I was like, you got to up that prescription. I keep telling Gil, I'm like, Gil, you need to get LASIK or you're going to be blind as a bat like your dad.
That's half the reason why I got LASIK at a young age. I was like, everyone is using Coke bottles as their glasses. Let me fix something ahead of time before, like, even my dad can't see shit now, too. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
No, seriously. I mean, again, I have my mom's eyes. So, like, I don't have any vision issues. My brother has my dad's. My dad got LASIK. I think he was, like, 40. And this was, like, I don't know, over 20 years ago at this point. But my brother keeps, like, waiting. He's like, oh, there's going to be, like, a better technology soon.
It's already out. It's been out. It's a great technology. I'm 10 years in with these bad boys. We're fine.
Yeah. And, like, my dad had chronic dry eye, but I'm like, he had it 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It's different.
I don't have dry eyes with my – I had dry eyes without before. The LASIK. Yeah. And it fixed – I mean, granted, you can't fix an astigmatism. So I still have a little blur. Especially at night when it rains, like, I'm not getting behind the wheel unless I know where I'm going. But, like, other than that, I'm like, I'm good. We good. I will pay for it again if I have to. That was the best money I ever spent.
I can't imagine not being able to see well. I feel like the minute they were like, you need this, I'd be like, give me LASIK. Like, I don't want.
There is no, I can't stress this enough. And I wasn't as blind as the rest of the Olenis when I had to get it, when I got it done. But, like, there is nothing worse than opening your eyeballs in the morning and literally seeing nothing but a fucking blur and being like, where the fuck are my glasses? And then, like, God forbid you fall asleep with said glasses and they're dented or broken or shit. Like, there's nothing worse, in my opinion. So I was like, I ain't doing this anymore.
No, I don't blame you.
Check your insurance carriers, people, because some give you money per eye. And that's what, when I was on Philly Cherus, I checked and they're like, we'll give you like $1,500 per eye. And I was like, say less.
I feel like you were just about to get kicked off his insurance.
No, I was. I remember like going to my boss and be like, you don't understand. I just figured this out. You must grant my PTO wish.
Yeah.
Like, I'm taking a day off to get this done. Thank you.
And it's so easy.
It's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes of a procedure. You just look like a bug afterwards wearing those glasses. But like, I'll pay the price.
Yeah.
A week without wearing makeup. Like, okay, I just won't do anything for a week. Cool.
Yeah. Especially, and for a boy, like, okay.
So you have a little gunk in the eyes and a little bit of a red eye for the couple days.
I was like, yeah, just like work from home.
I literally, like, they say, like, if you keep your eyes shut the whole day, it helps you. And I kid you, I remember like laying on my mom and dad's couch, just like with my eyes closed all day long. I made them put like Harry Potter on so I can just like listen to something. And then I was like, just tell me when my food's here and I'll open up my eyes to eat and then I'll close them again. Just dote on me.
That's my dream. Maybe I'll just get it for funsies. I don't even need it. I just want to be doted on.
Just dote on me, bitches. So we're I don't even know, like 15 minutes in and we're not talking about bugs yet. But these are the things you should do. LASIK.
And you got some Olini family lore.
Yeah.
So seriously. Lucky you guys. I don't want to say I haven't been reading a lot because like I've read 4 books, I think, since the last Spilling the Tea. Maybe. Yeah, I think 4 books since we last chit-chatted about it.
I did 3.
Yeah. And I think I spoke about Rose and Chains last week at the end of our episode. So if you didn't listen to that, I'll just kind of like reiterate. I really liked it. I did a hybrid. It was mostly audio, but I did read some of it. I think the audio was done really well. I kind of do wish I eyeballed it. I just feel like I would have like absorbed it a little more. So I feel like when the second book comes out, I'll probably do a eyeball reread of it. I really liked it. I never read it as a fanfic.
Okay.
So I have like nothing to compare it to, but as a standalone piece of work, it was like, I didn't think of the HP universe at all. Like, I think she did a really great job of creating a backstory that made sense. And creating a magic system that made sense and like a world that made sense. Like, that was completely unrelated. Like, if I didn't know that it started out as a fanfic, I would not think that this was anything related to any other work.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really liked it, and I'm really excited for the second. And I know that a lot of people are like, it's a very dark story. And like, there definitely are really dark parts, so trigger warning. And this isn't a spoiler, I think a lot of people have talked about this going in, but there are, I would say, not explicit and probably more off page in book one, sexual assault scenes, but it's definitely talked about. Like, you know that things are happening. Bryony is the main character. She's like groped at some points, but there's no like explicit, I guess, like rape scenes.
Okay.
And then there is, so her bloodline, they want to kind of like sterilize all of the women and men so they can't reproduce any of the Rosewood bloodline. So there is talk of like sterilization, and one of like the, I don't want to call them healers, but one of the doctors basically like sterilizes her one side. So like, there's like magic done to like, I guess, cauterize her one fallopian tube. But they only pretend to do it to the other side. So it's, I think like her cousin is completely sterilized. I don't know. There's definitely uncomfortable topics, but I think the overall story isn't as dark as I was expecting it to be.
Okay.
So I think if anybody's worried, definitely check triggers and like take it with a grain of salt. But I was expecting a lot worse than what I read. And maybe that's just me being desensitized to like topics like that, but.
No, I mean, I feel like from what I've gathered, and again, I have not read it, but I feel like of the two of us, like I'm definitely a little bit more sensitive to some of those pain points. I'm thinking about work, about those trigger warnings. And from everything I've gathered that is occurring, it didn't seem like something I would be like, I don't think I can handle this, if that helps anybody out there. And again, I have not read it, but I definitely am way more sensitive than you.
Yeah, I think that you really like it.
I'm excited. It's on my very short audio TBR, but mm-hmm. I just came off of Fairydale. I mean, because I haven't said that enough. And that was a very long book. So I was like, let me just give myself like a 10-second breather and do a little bit of shorter listens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll circle around to it. So I think after I listen to The Compound, so I'm listening to one more audiobook now.
Okay.
Then I'm going to hop into that. I'll talk about, did I talk about Sounds Like Love by Ashley Poston at all?
I think you briefly mentioned it, but I don't think you had finished.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It's been like 2 weeks since I read it, and I kind of forget a lot about it. I think it's like a good, it was cute.
Yeah.
I think if you're like, hey, I think I want to give it a shot, give it a shot. It does have a paranormal-ish aspect. Female main character's mom was just diagnosed with dementia, so it does kind of follow along a little bit of the lines of like, you don't get big glimpses of it like you do mm-hmm. in some of Abby Jimenez's book.
Yeah.
And then there's another one out there as well, Promise Me Sunshine.
No,
something else that we read that spoke about dementia. So like, you know,
there's been dementia mentioned
topic.
I just read a book that she's Alzheimer's, which is like not the same, but like kind of the, like
some of the symptoms. They can mimic each other.
Yeah. They're very interchangeable. I think people say they have Alzheimer's and like they use the term interchangeably. But anyway, yeah, I feel like it's been like a hot topic in books lately.
It is. And I mean, cool, but like interesting. So it was just like a cute read. Like, I think the writing's really well done. It's not my favorite by any means, but I think it just.
Yeah.
You kind of saw everything coming, obviously, from a mile away.
With, like, Ashley Poston, I feel like The 7-Year Slip was just, she, like, hit the mark on that. And it's not that her other books, I haven't read the Sounds Like Love, but her other two books, not they weren't bad. But they were just, like, okay books. So I feel like after The 7-Year Slip.
Oh my God, 7-Year Slip was just a masterpiece.
The other ones are good. They're just like mediocre. Where 7-Year Slip was like 5 stars amazing. So I feel like I've been like, because The 7-Year Slip was the first book I read at first. And then I went back and did The Dead Romantics. And then last year I did a novel love story. And I just feel like I've been like, I don't want to say like let down, because they're not bad books. They're just like nowhere near as good as The 7 Year Slip.
Oh my God, seriously. And I know, sorry. Of course, like I get a ping from someone. They're like, I'm speaking with the CEO. And I'm like, I mean, technically it's my lunch break, so like give me 7 seconds. But
no, 100%. I can just talk about the next book then.
Yeah.
I'm trying to debate which one I want to talk about next, because I can segue into like an author that I've loved some of her books and then like read one that, you know what, I'll hold that. Another book that I really liked, it's an arc, but Daddy Issues by Kate Goldbeck. So she's the author of You Again, okay, which was like that Harry Met Sally, like Raylo fanfic book that you and I both loved, but is like people either love it or hate it. So I was really looking forward to this one. The cover is just like so freaking cute. And there's like a bit of an age gap, but like she's in her late 20s. And I think he's like 11 or 12 years older than her. He's in his like late 30s. Single dad. He's like divorced. So he's Nick, and Nick and Sam are the two main characters. Sam, Daddy Issues is like literally the perfect, you know when the book is just like so perfectly named?
Yes.
This book, Daddy Issues. Mm. One, it's like kind of got like a double meaning, right? Like he's a single dad. They're like, you know, whole relationship is like whatever. Her dad kind of was like an absentee father, and he like only came around when it was like convenient for him. Mm. Like wanted like whatever. But they had this like comic book collection. And so she like is holding on to the past like really hard as like a way to like hold on to like this relationship with her dad that is like pretty non-existent. She goes to college for, I guess, like animation or something, but she's kind of like the minute that she's told like or gets any kind of criticism, she immediately is like, I'm changing majors. And then she's going for her PhD in like a like historical art, blah, 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 something. She's supposed to go live in Italy and like do this whole thing. And then COVID hits and like, it's just like the program's canceled. It's a whole thing. She moves back home from New York to Ohio to like live with her mom. And like, she keeps just being like, oh, like I'm only here temporarily. It's been like 5 years now. And Nick moves in next door. And again, he's divorced, so he's not like a full-time single parent. He's has like an ex-wife who they split like custody 50-50 or whatever. And they just like kind of like hit it off like immediately and become like really good friends. He's like the manager at a Chili's. She's just bartending at like a tiki restaurant in Ohio. And her mom is getting remarried. And she's like basically like working, like again, she says it a bunch of times that she's the minute she gets any feedback that's like less than stellar, she kind of like gives up. She's, which I get, it's hard to get negative feedback and like want to keep pushing yourself through. So I really liked it. The end, so like the third act breakup basically is she always talks about leaving. She wants to leave, she wants to go back to New York. Like she's like, I'm not staying, I'm not staying, I'm not staying. Her and Nick, like, do fall in love. The romance was, like, a little bit lacking. Like, I liked them, but I didn't, like, feel like, oh, these two are so in love with each other. And Nick's daughter, I think, is, like, 11-ish. Maybe, like, she's between, like, 9 and 12, we'll say. I forget her exact age. And Sam, like, has, like, a pretty good relationship with her, but I just feel like there wasn't enough there for me to be like, oh, like these two are meant to be.
Yeah.
So she ends up leaving. He like kind of is like, we should break up. Like you need to leave and like figure your shit out. I'm not going to be like the reason why you stay here. And then in like a year or two, you resent me because you didn't take this opportunity.
Mm.
So she like leaves. She goes to school for a year. She goes like back. She joins like, she's like being like, she's like a TA or something, but she like takes some art classes. She kind of like falls back in love with like the like the actual doing the art aspect. And then she's like, okay, like I love this, but I also love Nick and I have been here and I've done it and I've like grown over this year and I've like really put myself out there, but she's like, but I just want to be with him. So she like moves back to Ohio.
Okay.
So it ends on like a very cute note, but I'm still just like, oh, like you guys just like waited around for each other for like a year. Like, were you like, was it that strong of a connection?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it seems believable when that happens in a storyline, but then sometimes mm-hmm. it's like, is that really what you did?
Like, yeah, like, I think if they were both happened to be single and run into each other, like, I'm like, okay, they could rekindle this. But, like, the beginning of the story, she's, like, kind of with another guy. Like, I just don't, it was kind of, there wasn't enough of an emphasis on the romance part for me to believably think that they would be together at the end.
I hear you.
But I think that while they were together, they were great.
Okay.
It was just like, okay, like, maybe she should just go, and they should, it shouldn't be a romance book, and they should just, like, they had this, and they pushed each other to be, like, a better parent and, like, a better person, blah, 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 but it was good. I would recommend it.
Okay.
I would recommend it.
I read, I got an arc through NetGalley for book two of the Boneyard Gay series. The first one was Haunted Ever After by Jen DeLuca. She's a known author. She typically writes romances, but she stepped into more of, like, a, I would definitely classify this as paranormal, but, like, think of it as, like, a cozy, romancy paranormal. Like, it's literally a romance story with, like, some ghosts on the side.
Okay.
I really liked book one. I thought it was a lot of fun. Like, they're in Boneyard Key, Florida. It's one of America's most haunted towns. They do mm-hmm. they do tours, and they find, like, these ghosts and kind of, it's think of it as, like, a history tour, but you're learning about how they gather information for a history okay. tour, but there's a romance aspect. It carries over into book two, still romancy tour things. Ghost tour things. Another guy shows up into town. He basically is using daddy's money. He doesn't want to work for his father in New York. And he loves theater. He loves acting. He loves singing. So he's like, what better thing to do than just put on these productions of a ghost tour? And I'm going to mm-hmm. go open them up in all these different towns to turn profit, because I have to give my dad all of his money back and then show that we can continue without his support.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I have to now go work for him. He obviously lands in Boneyard Key, Florida. He quote unquote did his research that there's no other ghost tour there, which he thought was kind of weird if it's one of the most haunted towns in America. But little did he know, he met the girl who runs the ghost tours, and like she okay. doesn't do any kind of promoting. There's no sign up sheet online. Like, it's all by word of mouth type of thing. So such a like a southern, like, tiny town, little charmy thing. So he basically is like, well, there's going to be enough for two of us. Like, I'm going to do a whole different production. All of his tours are fabricated stories,
mm-hmm.
Which obviously her name is Sophie. She's like, I don't like this. Like, you're just lying about stuff, and a lot of the ghosts don't like it in town. It was cute. Like, it was very cute. It was very Florida. There's obviously a hurricane that happens, like, that, like, brings them together. But it didn't, like, wow me, but it was definitely one of those, like, if you need, like, a fall fun book to talk about, like, some ghost stuff, it's cute. I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
Again, I really liked the first book a little bit more. I gave that one a 4-star, Haunted Ever After. Definitely a little bit better writing. I think it's just, like, the storyline. Like, her writing's really good, and, like, you can easily envision everything. But I'm like, I wish you just kind of came up with, I liked your plot points, but, mm-hmm. like, we could have maybe delivered them a little bit better.
Yeah.
It just almost seemed like a little kiddie. I don't know. Like, I was like, I think we could have done more. But that's just me.
Okay.
Very cute cover, though.
I was going to say, like, the covers are getting me. Another book, I'm realizing that I basically have only read, like, advanced copies this month. So another book with a really cute cover, People Watching by Hannah Bonham Young.
Yeah.
And
great cover.
It's a great cover. That's the best part of the book.
Oh, no! Oh, yeah,
I know. I didn't want to say it. It's not okay. It's not bad. It was cute. It was a very easy read. I like Prue and Milo. It was like a book that felt almost good. Like, it was almost there, but, like, it didn't hit the mark. So, like, first of all, it's very Insta lovey, but I don't mind Insta love, but, like, okay, so the basis of the story is Prue, there's just, like, a lot missing. Like, I had, like, questions. I'm like, where did Prue go to college? Did she go away to school? Did she move back home? Like, I feel like there was, like, things missing. Maybe I just missed them, but there was just, like, a big, like, lack of, like, well-roundedness to, like, the whole thing. So Milo is coming to town to So Milo has two siblings, Nadia and Nick, and they have like a special code. It's 119. It's basically like a reverse 911. But each sibling like has one that they're like allowed to use at any time. And like everybody has to kind of like do the thing that the sibling who used the code, whatever. Nick calls 119 to get Milo and his sister back to town, or the town that he like lives in. Nick is married. He has like 5 kids. His wife is aggressively pregnant. She's like literally like 39 weeks pregnant.
Shit.
And him and his like childhood best friend are opening a brewery. So Milo picks up his sister at the airport. They drive over to Nick's place. On their way there, they are stopping to, they're going to stop at like the local, it's like a very small town. That's the thing too. It's a very small town. But there's not like a cool cast of character. Like it's just very like, oh, there's a bakery, there's a brewery, I live here, there's a grocery store that my family owns. So Prue's family owns the grocery store. Her mom has Alzheimer's, and her dad runs the grocery store. But sometimes the mom like wakes up and thinks it's like their wedding day, and because it's a small town, they just like close the store from the day for like a wedding, and then like people get together and they like have a wedding. So when Milo like blows into town, it's the day of the wedding, and Prue is at the grocery store putting like the sign out, like kind of closing shop for the day. It's the first time they ever see each other, and he's like this like nomad, like he like just goes like bounces around, like he was like traveling with a carnival, like he was just doing like, he's just wherever you need me is kind of, he doesn't want to be tied down. They had an abusive like family environment growing up, so he's just always kind of been like, the minute that he could leave, he left, and he's like not kind of like never wanted to go back. And in like Milo's POV, you find out that he's like kind of a slut, like self-proclaimed slut. He's slept around, he's very like commitment phobe, like he hasn't stayed in one place for too long, whatever. And then he sees Prue and he's just like immediately taken by her, which like, I kind of like, I get it to an extent, like you kind of want to feel that, but like he's this, they do like a whole like truth or dare thing. And he basically says he like stopped counting around like 200 people that he's had sex with. And again, you know what? Whatever. Do what you got to do. He's obviously fulfilling like looking a void of like the love that he didn't have. It's like, I know that people are going to be mad that he's like slept around and like be like, he's disgusting. With the childhood or like what we find out, I think it makes sense. But Prue is like a 25-year-old virgin.
Oh, boy.
And again, I hate that, like, I'm this, like, manly man who sleeps with everybody. And I'm this, like, little virgin, or, like, petite little, like, whatever. I don't know. I hate that fucking trope.
I do, too.
Especially, like, I'm not saying that there's not 25-year-old virgins out there, but I just feel like it's, like, an unrealistic trope at the ages that they were, and, like, whatever. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway. Prue, like, I guess when her mom gets sick, she kind of, like, moves back home. She lives in, like, basically, like, a shed in, like, the back. Like, it's, like, a little A-frame. And she's, like, part caretaker for her mom. And her dad is, like, I'm going to put your mom in a home in a few months because, like, you need to go out and, like, live your life. Like, she wouldn't want you just, like, giving up your life to, like, live here. But, like, I don't know, like, what Prue's life was prior to her becoming a caretaker.
Like, okay, she writes, like, you're missing poetry, some valuable, like, information, yeah,
like,
there.
I don't know. What did she go to school for? Like, what was her?
Was she,
I don't
so
know,
sheltered? Did she stay home? Did she not get to go to college? Like, yeah, like, what's
and
the...
like, what? Yeah, like, she says that she, like, writes poetry, but, like, is this, like, your path? Do you want to be a poet? Like, I don't know what Prue's passion was. That was the thing. Prue was like, I don't want to leave home. Even if you send mom to a home, like, I still want to live here. And then you find out that the dad is, like, keeping... Sorry, guys, this is, like, really spoilery. the reason why he wants to put the mom in a home and get Prue out is because he also found out that he has, like, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, so he doesn't want her to become, like, a caretaker for both of them. Mm. And he, like, is hoping that Milo will kind of, like, rub off on her, like, his, like, lifestyle and his choices of, like, kind of, like, traveling and going, that she'll, like, catch an itch for that. Milo also... is, like, super artistic, like, he's super into art, and his art teacher growing up was Prue's mom. So there's like a little connection there, and he like kind of like helps her like take care of her mother. And then he's like, you know, there's like a very almost forced, it felt like tension between them. And then he finds out that she's a virgin, and it like kind of like turns him on like a little more, which I don't know if that's like, I don't know, whatever. It's just kind of weird. And then he's like, oh, like I can't do commitment. And she's like, I don't need commitment. I just need somebody to teach me. Like, you know, like things.
So
like,
now we're turning it to that trope.
Yeah. But it's like, that's the trope that we're turning it into. But literally, like, I was thinking like, okay, so there's going to be this like weird push and pull, and he's going to be like, no, I have to leave. Like, no, like they sleep together. Not even like, I think the first time, like they just kind of like hook up and like, he like gets her off, and he's like immediately like obsessed with her, and like he sleeps over and like all the, and I'm like, okay, so it went, I can't be in a relationship to like, I'm in love with this girl.
Doesn't
after like
sense.
One time.
Yeah.
It just felt like there was like too many like things. And then it's like the relationship with like his family and like trying to like close that circle. And then, her dad tells Milo like about his diagnosis, but like, she doesn't know. And her dad's like, don't tell her. I'm going to wait until after like the brewery opens and then tell her and like, let her like make the decision, whatever. So Milo is like, okay, like he's like very uncomfortable having to keep the secret, but he has, because of like his issues with his parents, like he really like likes and respects Prue's dad and almost like wants the dad to like love him because he like didn't get that at home. So he's like keeps the secret even though like he doesn't want to. But again, it's not his secret to tell, I'm sorry. And then so she ends up finding out, and she finds out that Milo knew, and she like freaks out on him. And then, like, the next morning, she just, like, instantly forgives her dad. And I'm like, it's more fucked up that your dad kept the secret than this man you've known for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then she does immediately kind of forgive Milo. I don't know. I just felt like there was, like, too much. And, like, the dialogue, it just didn't read. It didn't sound like she wrote this book. Like,
I'm just confused on, like, what the title means to, like, people watching.
Oh,
like, what
Oh, that was another thing. The title, I wrote it in my review. Okay, so at one point, she's talking about how she's, like, working in, like, growing up, helping her dad in the grocery store, working in the grocery store on the weekends and stuff. Her dad and her would keep, like, a journal where, like, sometimes, like, if a new customer came in that they, like, didn't know, or, like, it was, like, a tourist or somebody, they would, like, kind of, like, make up, like, a scenario. Like, oh, this person is named Jane, and Jane is here for the weekend to visit her, like her long-lost high school sweetheart, blah, blah, blah. Like, they would kind of, like, you know.
Yeah.
People watch and make up stories, but like it's mentioned one time.
Like to me, like if that's the name of the cover, right, with like two people on the cover, I would like, I'm envisioning like they somehow keep meeting at a bar or like a restaurant and running into each other. And like,
yeah,
like, I'm almost thinking like being on, you remember like the Marsh Walk in South Carolina, like the rocking chairs, and like we would sit there and watch people go by. Like I, that is like what I'm envisioning. Like they somehow keep meeting up and like creating these funny stories about people, and then it turning into, I don't know. Like
I thought it was going to be like her and Milo, something between the two of them. No, yeah. Something with her dad. You get like one throwaway comment about it, about this journal. And she's like, oh, it's been like 2 years since either of us have even written in it.
That's weird.
So again, so it's not even like an important part of the story.
But let's name the title, people
and
watching.
And then in the epilogue, it's, oh, like Prue tells Milo about this journal, and he like, because he's like a sketch artist, he like sketches out the scenes based on like the little stories that they've like written. And then she like writes some poetry, and then her and Milo like publish a book. But it's like not their thing. It's her thing with her dad. I don't know. Like the title didn't make sense. The love story was just like forced.
That's a shame.
A lot of it felt forced, and it just didn't sound like a book that she wrote. Like, I feel like when I'm reading all the books I've read by her, I've been like, oh, this sounds like Hannah Bonham Young wrote this. Like, it's very, like, in her voice. This book did not feel like that whatsoever. And also, okay, so a nickname that's overused.
Ugh, let's do it.
So it's not that the nickname is overused. It's that the nickname that he gives her in this book, he overuses it. So he calls her Killer. And the first time I'm like, okay, cute, whatever. And then it's constant.
Oh, you know.
Every other page, Killer, 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 Killer. I'm like, it's not cute anymore. It's like,
no,
I'm
like
cringing.
You're now beating a dead horse with it. So let's please stop.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to say that I don't recommend this one.
Wow. Bold statements.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed, I'm not going to lie.
I will not read it then.
Yeah, I'm saying skip it.
Wow.
Sorry. And I feel bad saying that because I like her other books and I really like
her. They're phenomenal and I love her. She's awesome.
Yeah, but.
Just this one didn't hit.
This one didn't hit. And it's, and the cover is so cute. And like.
The cover is very cute.
And like Milo's hot. Didn't do it. Didn't do it for me.
Bugger. Well, I'm going to tell you about a book that did it for me.
Okay.
So I've been sleeping under a rock because I haven't read anything by Kerry Lake. And I deem myself someone who loves paranormal romances. So I feel like I should slap myself on the hand because how dare I? So she's written quite a few. I've had all of her books on my TBR, basically. But I decided to go with Nocticadia. I listened to the audio. The audio is obviously utterly fantastic, in my opinion. Okay. I say this loosely, but if you are a fan of, like, the earlier books of Zodiac Academy.
Okay.
The hear me out. The vibe of some forbidden romance, but the academia of it all. Like I'm thinking if you are someone who likes Harry Potter, you loved the school aspect, being there. Magical school system, being in the class, that kind of a thing. Then I really do think at the end of the day, that's all you really need to like, and you'd probably like this book. It was fucking utterly fantastic. So our female main character, who, you know, go Katie, of course, I don't fucking remember the goddamn name of her, even though it was literally amazing. It's very magical realism. Think about that. There is this guy, the male main character they deem Dr. Death because he teaches like a morgue-based type of class at night. And he is a doctor. He does dissections and post-mortem kind of reviews of all that nature. This one girl, oh my God, why can I not think of her fucking name? Hold on. Please give me 2 seconds. I don't know why this is so important to me, but I need to know her name.
It is.
Professor Devrick Bramwell. Lilia. It came to me. Lilia. Okay. So Lilia is back at home. And again, kind of Zodiac beginning vibes. Think of it of that nature. Does not come from a good household. Her mom had passed away of some kind of crazy weird sickness where like worms were leaving her body. She had hallucinations. Every time this girl was like, we need to take you to the hospital, her mom was like adamant on the fact that they do no such thing. Like, she will remain home. So she kind of played the role of like caregiver to mom, kind of caregiver to her sister, and then also just trying to make a living and go to school and pay for everything herself. So like, she's very much struggling financially. She is trying to obtain an education. Her sister Beatrice, after their mom does end up passing away by suicide in the bathroom, and when she does commit suicide, she's in the bathtub and has sliced her wrist. So again, trigger warnings there. You see like she saw the worms leave their body and kind of like run to water. So she's like, am I okay? Like, what is wrong with me? Like, she's asked her mom's boyfriend, like, did you see anything? Like, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, kid. So Beatrice has to go to like a boarding school. It's mostly for mental health, and she's apparently thriving there.
Yeah.
So good for B. B's out doing her life. So now it's her and her mom's boyfriend living in this apartment. They're both trying to just make ends meet, but also pay for B's tuition.
Okay.
There's a guy that comes around that is the boyfriend's friend, Angelo. He's bad news boys. He's bad news. Like, corners her a few times, like threatens to like kill her and then rape her type of thing. But the boyfriend wants nothing to do with it. He's like, you're delusional. That is not who Angelo is. So all of a sudden she has to write a paper for her class about like a fictional disease. Like, she's very much into the medical field. Like, she wants, that's where she wants to end up. So she writes this like fictional thing that happened to her mom, but she uses that as her paper. And her professors are like, you need to come into our office. So she's like, shit, did I get in trouble? Like, what's going on? There's a lot of interest. They basically get her into this one school and she's like, I can't afford this. They're like, no, it's a free ride for a semester. However, like, it's only for a semester, whatever happens after the fact, which I have to appreciate because like, that makes sense to me. Like, let's give you a shot. Let's see if you can manage to be here.
Yeah.
And then if you are smart and you're doing well and, you know, performing well, we might think about giving you a scholarship for the remainder of the year and subsequent years. Like, that to me makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Which I, again, very happy about. So she goes to the school. She, like, she's not supposed to be in certain classes because you need prerequisites, and she's just fucking crushing it. Her professor, Dr. Death, they're calling us Devrick. There's not, like, there's, like, an interest, but, like, there's not, like, heavy flirting. She's just trying to go to school and do what she's supposed to and, like, make an education and make sure she secures her whatever. And then she's, like, begging him for to be, like, an assistant for some money because, like, she needs to pay, be able to pay for her sister's schooling. She finds out that her mom's boyfriend, like, stopped paying. Something happened with the money. You kind of, I don't want to give out like everything about this book, but there's a lot of back end things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't take whatever, but she saw him do something. So she kind of like blackmails him to like letting her be an assistant, but they can't tell anybody because he never takes assistants on. And that's when like you can kind of sense like some kind of attraction. He was accused a long time ago of being with the student, but it was easily kind of squashed. He's a young professor. So like, he's like, this is bound to happen. And then because I'm so standoffish, people just like try to throw themselves at me, whatever. So obviously they do form a relationship, but it's kind of nice because it's not really focused on like the forbidden aspect of the relationship. Okay. Like it's really mostly focused on the plot. Like there are some great sexy scenes in that book. I think it's just the right amount that you need. I don't want to say they're kind of caught, but like one professor in particular who has the hots for Dr. Death is like very akin to what's happening between the two of them.
Yeah.
And he's like, fucking do what you want with this. This is college. Like, I'm going to fucking keep doing what I need to do. Like, you fuck off. Like, you're trying to blackmail me. I have proof of shit against you. So like, I kind of like how it's not. I like the forbidden romance trope, but sometimes I feel like that just carries such a presence through some books, kind of like a Zodiac Academy scene where it's like you get so nervous. But the because the story itself was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that creepy crawly because I know Katamari was like, I kind of got like grossed out. Like, I didn't find it that way. But again, I like creepy shit. So take that with a grain of salt. It didn't project that way. But like, it's just such an interesting plot line. And then I was laughing at myself because I was taking a video of myself running on on Friday. And I accidentally filmed my reaction to the ending of the book. And it's just like one of those. It's left on like it's unopened answers there. Like you can kind of gauge what's going to happen next, but it's a good little spin. It was fucking incredible. So now I went back to Animantha and I'm liking it. Not as much as Noctacadia, but like, where have I been with Carrie? Like, I'm so upset at myself.
I feel like we were going. I was just like looking at her backlog, Master of Salt and Bones. Yes, I feel like we've talked about like, oh, we should do that for an episode. And then we just like never did. But I think we were like not in our. That's like, I think when we were like a little too full of
fantasy, you and I hit like a peak where we're like, we don't want to talk about fantasy ever again in our lives. I will say kind of like even with with Animantha, it's very like real worldish vibes, which I'm very, I kind of love that. Like
so
I love,
it's more like paranormal than it is like fantasy.
Yeah. Like it definitely. And that's when I was looking at like, what else can I read that's paranormal? This kept popping up. So I'm like, I got to give this a go. And I was like, okay, it really is way more paranormal than fantasy than anything else. So I'm excited for Animantha. And then I might just, again, down the line in a couple of books, I might do Masters because we've literally, it's been on our TBRs for forever.
Yeah. I finished a book at like 4:30 this morning when I wasn't sleeping. It's Different This Time by Joss Richard. So we got an arc of this. This comes out September 30th. Again, like, I'm sorry. These are all like books that aren't out yet. I'm just realizing that I've been on an art kick, I guess. It's a second chance romance. It's told in alternating timelines, one POV, which is the main character, June. So it's June and Adam. They meet kind of like off chance, but very basically they become roommates. They are living in this brownstone. This is like 11 years in the past. Present day, so June was a Broadway star, but she moved out to LA to pursue film and like TV. And Adam is a chef living in New York City still. June gets an email basically being like, hey, you need to come to New York. You need to come to my law office, blah, blah, blah. They find out that their old landlord of the brownstone that they were both living in has passed away from Alzheimer's. Again, it's like so random. And he doesn't have any like relatives. He never had kids. He never got married, like no relatives. So he leaves the brownstone to them. It's like a $6 million brownstone in New York City. Two bed, two bath, like whatever. And it's been completely refinished. The like since they moved out 5 years prior, he's been using it as like an Airbnb. And they basically have like 4 weeks until they can like officially take over ownership. And then they can decide if they want to keep it or sell it. So this is the first time that they're seeing each other in 5 years. So you don't really know what happened in the past, but like you keep present day, June is like not happy to be seeing Adam. Like she's kind of whatever. Her dad left her mom when she was two and like he never like looked back. Like literally was just like, I don't want to be a parent and just kind of like left. And her mom has kind of always resented her. So her mom got pregnant young and has always been like very resentful of June for like ruining her life. Okay. Yeah, her mom's been like very unsupportive. So June, like when she gets like her first like Broadway gig, like she like invites her mom like doesn't come. It's like a whole thing. And so whatever. So her and Adam kind of this like chance meeting and they decide like they both really want this apartment. It's a two bedroom. They kind of neither of them can afford it alone. So they're like, let's just move in together. Like whatever. They become like best friends. Adam is like stereotypical, like really good looking ladies man kind of guy, but they're very like he's very like respectful, like he never like brings women home, but like June's always like, oh, like he's out on another date or like whatever. But they just become like really good friends, and at first like for June like she's like, oh, he's really attractive, but it's like very platonic. But like over like the years they start very obviously developing feelings for each other. Adam is kind of like always had a thing for June, but before they move in she's like kind of like, hey, if we're gonna live together as like a single male and a single female, like we cannot be like mixing, muddying the waters with like whatever. So like eventually it's like very obvious that they're like in love, but like there's no like they like both kind of like stop dating. Okay. She's like very involved like with his family. His family is all like, but she just like cannot. She like he would like she's like he just like would never want me, like kind of thing. And she's so afraid of, I mean, like her dad left. Her mom doesn't like support her. She's like very, very afraid of being left by somebody else she loves. So she's more of like a runner. Like the minute things get serious, she's kind of like self-sabotages. Kind of like, I'll leave before you can leave me.
Yeah.
So there is like a night, it's like 5 years in the past where they kind of like, they kiss and Adam's like, listen, like, before this goes any further, like if we take this step, like that's it for me. Like if we go past this boundary, like I'm all in. So mm-hmm. if you're not all in, then like you have to tell me. And she like cannot get, like she cannot say the words.
Aww.
So he's like, you just need to keep figuring out your own shit. Like I kind of got really mad at her. So like the reason why they don't talk for 5 years, spoiler, actually no, I won't say it because I'm gonna recommend the book, so you'll find out the reason why they end up not speaking for 5 years. But in the present day they're kind of like stuck in this house together. He is still very clearly in love with her and she clearly still in love with him, but they're kind of both angry at each other as well. And he lives in New York. He's a head chef. He owns a restaurant, head chef, okay. Michelin star restaurant. She's staying in the city for the month at the apartment because she like her TV show that she was on just got canceled and she's up for a role in like the Les Mis revival. It's like her dream role is to be in like Les Mis. So she's like, I'm going to stay in the city. He's like, you should obviously stay at the apartment. Like it's technically ours and it's a free place to stay. And he's like, oh, and it's also closer to my job. So I'm going to not stay at my penthouse apartment near Central Park. I'm going to stay here with you. Why wouldn't I? He just like wants to be
it
like.
It sounds really cute.
Yeah, it's really I like cute, but it was giving me like
angst,
heart palpitations. Yes, the angst. Like I had heart palpitations. Like I was like, oh my god, like everything. And then like then they're like getting together in present day, and I'm like, but they're not talking about what happened in the past. So you know, there's going to be this like blow up.
Yes,
and I'm like, why are you guys not talking? Like
you must speak.
And like you still don't know at this point, like what happened. I'm like, what happened? And like she keeps mentioning like a girl named Riley, and I'm like, who the fuck is Riley? Yeah, I don't know. It was I think it's this author's like debut novel. Oh, wow. Okay. It's giving like New York City and autumn vibes. It's not like the best written book, but I liked the story and the characters a lot.
I was going to say, I feel like even if your writing is not the strongest,
it could have been polished.
But if you can deliver like a good, solid story with believable characters and what they're doing, I feel like anyone could, you know what I mean? Like you can look past some things.
Yeah.
But like to me, I'd rather have that than great writing, but a lackluster plot with characters.
Yes. Like I like there was times where I was like, okay, like this dialogue seems a little like clunky.
Mm.
But I liked the story and the characters. Yeah. I couldn't stop reading. Like I was like in bed like last night and I hit 50% and it was like 10:15 and I was like, I really need to go to sleep.
I'm just going to keep going.
But I wanted to keep reading. Yeah. And then I think maybe that's why I couldn't sleep last night. Because I was like, maybe. When are they going to get back together?
So just sabotaging your sleep over these characters.
I know. So I would recommend it. I mean, it's comes out. Sorry, I'm like, it's like 400 pages. It comes out September 30th. And I really had a good time reading it. So I'm recommending it. I think it had
what's
a very
title again?
Good... It's different this time.
It's different. I had it wrong.
Joss Richard.
I don't know why I was putting in difference this time. I don't know. I don't know.
But it was really cute. And I just really enjoyed myself while I was in it. So I gave it 4 stars. I enjoyed it.
I mean, who doesn't love a second chance romance?
Who doesn't love
a
second chance?
I will say I'm not a New York City girl at all. Like, I'm not a city gal. I'm not going to go there on my own. But I love the envisionment of like a fall New York City day.
I was gonna
say,
yeah, the aesthetic and the vibe of a fall New York day, like the leaves are changing in Central Park and like you're just wearing a sweater, like you don't really need your coat yet. Like it's just a very idyllic time.
It's a picturesque moment.
Yes.
I'm here for it.
Do you have anything else?
I'm done.
Okay, I thought so. So next week we are reviewing The Compound by Ailing Rawley, which we've heard is dystopian Love Island. So we'll circle back on that next week. Then a Spilling the Tea episode the second week of August. I believe we're going to do Arcana Academy by Eliskova. And then finish out August with a second Spilling the Tea episode. So that's what we have coming up. I have nothing else to add. So, Katie Jean, if you would like to do us the honors and send us out.
Well, just to close a full circle moment, my parents are requesting the obituary. So I was like,
I will send
she
it to
will
you.
Be sending those. Don't worry.
Well, on
that note.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.